Shabbat Shalom. Rabbi Lorne and I will be tag team teaching this morning. Messiah is risen. What do you say? Very good. Some people intentionally and diligently search out the truth. Some people. Intelligently and diligently search out the truth and are rewarded by finding it. Some people happily stumble upon it, but are likewise rewarded. Still others are confronted by it, and though they would have preferred to be left alone, cannot refute it, and somewhat grudgingly align themselves with it. And there are some who, to their own demise, willfully turn a blind eye to it. So it is with the truth of the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead. It is an immovable reality, a certainty. And there are some, and the only question that remains in all of this is, what will you and I do about that immovable reality? Let's bring up my first point. Yeshua's resurrection. Oh, and by the way, there's 3 points, just letting you know. Yeshua's resurrection from the dead is an historical fact. It is entirely independent of subjective opinion or of wishful thinking. My wishing it happened wouldn't make it happen. And it is a truth we must reckon with. Now, you've all heard of the movie Ben-Hur, right? There was a remake not so long ago. Well, the movie was originally released in 1959, and Ben-Hur starred the late, great actor Charlton Heston. The screenplay was based on a book, but do you know the full title? I didn't, I confess. But the full title is Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ. The book was written in 1880, and it would go on to be the best-selling novel in America for the next 56 years. Now, almost as remarkable as the story itself is the background of the author. His name was Lewis Wallace. Wallace himself led a very storied life. He was an attorney by profession, yet because of his leadership abilities, he was during the Civil War, appointed a general in the Union Army. And then he later went on to be the governor of New Mexico. Quite an accomplished man. But the finished novel was not at all what Lewis Wallace set out to do initially. Initially, he had intended to write a book that would disprove once and for all the teaching that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, of course, as an attorney, Wallace was perfectly suited to evaluate the evidence for or against such a claim. That's what attorneys do. And as the evidence mounted contrary to his bias, he was forced to conclude that the resurrection of Yeshua was an historical fact. He was not the only attorney to have his skepticism challenged by the evidence. The very same thing happened to the eminent attorney Simon Greenleaf. He was, in his day, regarded, he was a Harvard Law professor, and he was regarded in his day as one of the preeminent legal minds in America. So this has happened more than a few times, that skeptics were convinced by the evidence. So let me share with you some of the lines of what we'll call inferential evidence for Yeshua's resurrection. Inferential because none of us are that old to have been there and seen it ourselves. Some of the lines of evidence for his resurrection. First, an empty tomb, despite that same tomb being under heavy guard to prevent theft or deceit or any sort of tampering. Next, Those with the most incentive, the greatest incentive to produce his body on the fourth day and thus disprove his claim, which would have quashed the movement in its infancy, those who had the greatest motive to produce his body on day four couldn't, despite every effort. Next, numerous eyewitnesses testified to seeing him alive after his death. Apart from his appearance to Rabbi Paul that we read about in the book of Acts, did you know that Yeshua made no less than 11 separate recorded appearances to individuals and groups of people? Now, that's just what's recorded. Acts tells us he made many appearances to many different people over those 40 days. He was seen. He was heard. He was touched. He had breakfast with his disciples. Next. Much of all of this took place in and around Jerusalem, including the apostles' early teaching. And it all happened in a relatively short span of time. Furthermore, the four Gospels were written by eyewitnesses and began to circulate early enough. All of this happened early enough that there were still plenty of people alive who would have been in a position to refute them if they could have. But the evidence was to the contrary. Next, Messiah's resurrection is the best explanation, the simplest explanation of how a group of previously fearful and despondent disciples suddenly and dramatically became courageous and zealous proclaimers of his resurrection. Next, even hostile early Jewish written sources admit to an empty tomb, though they try to explain it away by theft and deceit. They admit that the tomb was empty. Most of the apostles and many early Messianic Jews went to their death for maintaining their belief and their outward confession that Jesus had, in fact, risen from the dead. Now, people can be deceived and about something and sincerely believe it, but when it comes to laying down your life, nobody's going to willingly lay down their life for something they know is a lie. All of them went to their death, believing and confessing that he rose from the dead. At the very least, we can say they genuinely believe this happened, enough to die for it. Finally, and this is just a sampling. This is hardly an exhaustive list of the evidences. But finally, for our purposes, indifferent and even unsympathetic Roman secular historians had no other explanation for the explosive growth of this messianic movement. They had to chalk it up to Yeshua's followers genuinely believing and claiming to have experienced his being alive again after dying. The next thing I want to talk about, let's bring up the next one, Kim. Yeshua's resurrection from the dead should not have come as a surprise to anyone. It was foretold in the scriptures. Yeshua told his Talmidim, his disciples, on numerous occasions that he would die and rise from the dead on the third day. Excuse me. Right in time for first fruits. In Luke 24, he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things written about me in the Torah of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." Maybe what we need is for that same opening of our minds to understand the scriptures. Now, the disciples, of course, didn't want to hear anything about their beloved master dying. They didn't want to hear it, so they essentially blocked it out. As a result, they were bewildered when Yeshua died. But it's true. The Torah, the prophets, the wisdom literature, Psalms, all foretold his death and resurrection. Likewise, Rabbi Paul wrote to the Corinthians these words, "For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received, that Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What were some of those scriptures that taught either explicitly or perhaps implicitly the resurrection of the Messiah? Got a little list for you here. Genesis 22, in the Akedah, the account of the binding of Isaac, there are several ways in which Isaac becomes a type of the Messiah. For example, he carried the wood on which he was to be offered. When he was put on the altar, Isaac made no protest whatsoever, but he entrusted himself to his father. And the author of the letter to the Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 11, says this. Looking back, the author wrote this. He, Abraham, considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. A type of whom? Of Messiah Yeshua. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Psalm 22, well known to all of us. Now, Psalm 22 was much more than a lament. It was a prophecy. It describes the humiliation, the suffering, and the death of that one who was to come, Messiah. But it also speaks of his victory. While verses 14 and 15 speak of his being laid in the dust of death, when you get to verses 25 through 27, it says that he will once again rejoice in the praises of the great congregation, and all the ends of the earth will turn to the Lord. Death and resurrection, implicitly. Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, also Isaiah 49, 7. The stone which the builders, Israel's leaders, the stone which the builders rejected and which the nation abhorred and despised, Isaiah 49, would be vindicated by God and exalted over all the earth. But wait, there's more. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 8 through 10. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was cut off. Yet it goes on to say, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Daniel chapter 9 talks about the Messiah being cut off, put to death before the destruction of the second temple. But the promise is given later on by extension in chapter 12 that the dead will be raised. And as we will see, Messiah would be the first of those to rise from the dead. Hosea chapter 6, this one is a little more cryptic. It's certainly not explicit. It's by inference. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. Spoken to Israel, but implicitly a hint of Messiah's third day resurrection. Zechariah chapter 12, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication so that they will look on me whom they have pierced and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. The resurrected and glorified and all-powerful Messiah returns to Jerusalem. Finally, third point, Yeshua's resurrection from the dead is the guarantee of our own resurrection from the dead. You should be happy about that. Yeah, okay. Just checking. Okay. Messiah is the beginning of God's harvest of humanity, the first to be raised from the dead. And as the first fruits, and he rose on the day of first fruits, as the first fruits, he is the beginning and the best, the prototype and the model for all those joined to him. Because God found him acceptable, he led a perfect life, sinless life. God raised him from the dead as the first fruits. It is a guarantee that those who believe in him, the rest of the harvest of humanity, will likewise be raised and be given eternal life. Again, Rabbi Paul writes this, but now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep, meaning those who have died. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. As in Adam all die, so also in Messiah all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Messiah the first fruits. After that, those who are Messiahs at his coming. In the same chapter, Paul went on to say this. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. I'll conclude my half of this morning's drasha the same way I began it. Some people intentionally and diligently search out the truth and are rewarded by finding it. Some people happily stumble upon it, but are likewise rewarded. Still others are confronted by it, and though they would have preferred to be left alone, they cannot refute it and somewhat grudgingly align themselves with it. And there are some who, to their own demise, willfully turned a blind eye to it. The resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah, from the dead is the greatest event in human history. And it is the ultimate good news for those who embrace it. Yeshua's resurrection is also an immovable reality, a certainty, a matter to be reckoned with, the eternal disposition of your soul is at stake. For if, that's a big if you confess with your mouth Yeshua as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a lot riding on that if. Be sure you don't get it wrong.